Got 15 minutes remaining. Let's make a start on lesson 31. And there's bits of this lesson I'd like us to go through, and then we can go back through them next week. So the lesson starts with this verb, baptizomai and ebaptizomen. I am being baptized, I was being baptized. Section 1, we have baptizomai, I am being baptized. I am baptized, and the verb paradidomai, I am being betrayed, I am handed over. So we've had these verbs ending in omai before. Here we're going to get them in a little more detail. Here we know that the endings of baptizomai are the same as those of ginomai, which we had in lesson 29. So first person, singular, the ending omai, then a, etai, omatha, esthe, omtai. So for first, second, third person, singular, and plural. So, for example, baptizomatha, we are being baptized, paradidontai, they are being betrayed, they are being handed over. Now these verbs, baptizomai and paradidomai, are either middle or passive. So all the things like poieo, estheo, all these things are active verbs. In English, or in languages, you distinguish the voice of a verb. And in Greek, there are three voices, active, middle, and passive. So, let's jump over to section 9 on page 180, where we get a summary of grammatical terms for verbal forms. And this will be as helpful for you learning your English grammar as learning your Greek grammar, and this is part of a remedial English grammar course. So note this section, and then in a couple of lessons time, there's another section, 33.12, are for reference. Do not expect to learn them all at once, which is this is why it'll be helpful to go over it this week, and then to go over it again next week. You will not need to know grammatical terms in order to read and translate the New Testament, but you might need to know them in order to make sense of a commentary, if you're reading a commentary. And then it's also helpful just to understand when I refer to a verb as being in the middle voice or something. Several verbs, forms are included here for the purpose of reference, though you've not learned them yet. Don't bother to spend time studying them now. You'll come to them in later lessons, but here we're just going to review them all. And the various... we talked about the infinitive. The infinitive is non-finite, hasn't been rendered finite. A finite form of a verb is rendered finite by person, number, and then in some languages by gender, and then also by mood, and by tense, and by voice. So six attributes.
The first one is person.
Person, first, second, or third person. Then number, singular or plural. Then in some languages it would be gender, masculine, feminine, or neuter. We don't have that in Greek. And then mood, voice, and tense. So let's summarize these. Firstly, mood. Verbal forms which make a definite statement or question are called indicative. So lege, he says, present tense. Eblethesan, they were thrown. Ain, he was, as imperative. Agomen, are we going? These are all in the indicative. So they're making a definite statement, something is happening sort of within reality. Number two, verbal forms which make an indefinite statement or question are called subjunctive. So these are ones that are a step removed from reality, from actually happening. So for example, eon lege, if he says... Well, he hasn't actually said, we're adding if, so it actually hasn't happened. We're suggesting it might have happened, we're not saying it actually has. So it's a step removed from reality, and that gets put in the subjunctive. Agomen, let us go. Well, we haven't yet gone, and we might not actually go. If you're saying in the future tense, we will go, then basically you're saying that is going to happen. Agomen, you're saying, well, we desire for it to happen, but it's a step removed from reality. and then agomen, should we go, put as a question. So those are in the subjunctive. They're sort of conditional in a sense. And we in English, we use the subjunctive, although the subjunctive is rapidly falling out of use. And you see much incorrect failure to use subjunctive in proper places. Certain verbs do take a subjunctive form. And then number three, verbal forms which express a direct command are imperatives. So you should be familiar with that. So some examples there. All imperatives, we'll learn about those in lessons 40 and 41. Verbal forms which express to do something, are infinitive. So we've seen those as both present and aorist infinitives. And then a verbal form which can describe a noun is called a participle. And we've seen that these come with and without the article. Without the article, it's the action of the verb viewed as an entity, as a nominal noun entity. With the participle, it's the one who is doing the action that is in view. But they're both what we can call verbal nouns. And then, as such, since they're nouns, they then have come with case number and gender. And so those are participles. So those are the different moods that a verb can be in. Then we have tense. This is, be then familiar to you. We have forms which express continuing or repeated action. These are in the present, like poie. Forms expressing continued or repeated action in past time, that's the imperfect. Then we have the aorist for completed action or single action. So epoiesen. Then we have the future tense, verbs which express action in future time. Then we have forms which express action in the past, which have continuing results into the present. This is perfect. And in English, we usually render that with a have. So pepoieka, we haven't learned these yet. We'll learn them in lesson 33. But pepoieka, I have done. So I have done, I did it in the past, but it has a continuing result which is running on into the present. So as I am speaking, I have done, that thing remains in a state of being done. Then in number six, we get forms which express action in the past which had a continuing result which is also in the past are called pluperfect. So I had done, or I had trusted, or he had given. The giving was in the past, but then also the ongoing result of that, as I'm here in the present looking back on that, I'm looking back as the ongoing result of that also being in the past. So that's pluperfect, that we then in English would render with had. So in English, we have to use these helping verbs. That's what the have and the had are functioning as, helping verbs to convey this tense. Greek then has different inflected forms for it. So those are all the tenses that we have. Some of them are based off the present stem. Some of them are based off the aorist stem. Then we have voice. Voice comes in three flavors. There's the active voice, forms which normally express action done by the subject. So I throw. Well, I do that. I'm doing that to something else. I throw a ball, I throw a stick, something. That's in the active voice. Forms which normally express action done to the subject by someone or something else are called passive. I'm being thrown. It is something that somebody else is doing to me. And then three, forms which normally express action done by the subject and involving the subject rather than anyone else are called middle. So you can sort of think of this as the subject and the object are the same. So urkamai, I come. Well, I travel, I pray, I wash. So I'm washing myself. It's something I'm doing to myself. It's what certain other languages would have a reflexive. So like French has a reflexive, Romance languages have a reflexive, something you do to yourself. And that's really what the middle is. It's not something, we don't have this really in English. But Greek has it, and a number of other languages have this. And the middle, the forms for middle and passive end up generally being pretty similar. And this is where we get these amai endings. So this whole baptizomai, I am being baptized. This is where we're dealing with these all verbs that are in the middle of the passive voice. So you put all of this together, and then you define, we can partly describe verbal forms. So lege, for example, he says, it's a present indicative active, and then you'd add to that by saying it's a third person singular. So for Greek there, we're adding, we're defining a verb with five terms. So mood, tense, and voice, and then you'd add on number and person.
Does this make sense of all these little footnotes?
This is finally making sense of the footnotes that you'd have in this, that you'd have in Bible software, if you have tagging on it, and then that you'd read in if you're reading a commentary that goes into technical issues, we'll discuss about something being a subjunctive or what have you. So now you at least begin to have an idea if you're talking about an aorist active participle or a present middle infinitive or an aorist active subjunctive, what this might be about.
What does IMPV stand for?
IMPV would be imperative. Yeah, the abbreviations generally make sense. So imperative, IMPF would be imperfect, PF would be perfect. IND, so indicative, SUB, subjunctive, generally.
So it looks like in this, in our Greek New Testament, it looks like it goes person, quantity.
So person, number, yeah.
Yeah, person, number, then tense, voice, and then mood.
Yeah. Yeah, person, number, tense, voice, mood. That's the order that it's given here. Okay, so that's then a little introduction, a further lesson in grammar. Next week we'll start in again back at the beginning of the chapter and learn more about these passive and middle forms of the verb and review those grammatical terms.